ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And it was incredibly hard and anxiety-inducing because you'd be lying there going, what else do I have to give?
Former rugby international Melanie Kawa. Melanie was one of 150-plus athletes who contributed to an ABC-led survey into the challenges facing women who are competing at the highest levels of Australian sport. And honestly, it's pretty confronting reading. Underpaid, underappreciated, overworked, lacking support. Online abuse, in-person mistreatment, racism, sexism. The picture is not pretty. Understanding it is really important. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Amanda Shalala is a senior journalist with ABC Sport. She's behind a massive survey and study into what it means to be an elite female athlete in Australia. Amanda, do you want to just start by kind of explaining the raw data in terms of who was involved, how was the data collected, the sort of nuts and bolts?
Thanks for having me, Stacky. Well, we surveyed 152 elite athletes across 47 sports. That's including some multi-sport athletes. Of course, in the women's sports space, there are many that are juggling multiple sports at that high level. And we had 31 recently retired athletes. The rest of them are current. And a proportional representation of athletes with disability as well in that. So we had a good cross-section across a range of sports. The highest number of participants in sports were Aussie rules, netball, athletics, soccer, rowing and basketball. But there was a good diversity in the range of athletes in terms of where they are geographically, their ages, whether they were in disabled or non-disabled sport, metro, regional areas, and the big codes to those smaller, more niche or less mainstream sports. So we sent this out to clubs and organisations, and we also put a call out on socials as well. We were very targeted in just looking for elite athletes rather than anyone participating in sport, just to start with. And then in future, we will look to do more studies where we might broaden it a little bit more.
So much to pick through. Money makes the world go round. What are Australia's female athletes telling us about the money that they are or are not making from sport and how that impacts their ability to actually compete at the highest level?
From the athletes that we heard from, 39% told us they don't earn anything from sport. So they are making some sort of money in terms of the jobs they're doing, everything else. But in terms of pure income coming from sport, that is a very high percentage. And we're talking about Olympians, Paralympians, people in the major codes, as well as those smaller sports, as I mentioned. So it's not just people who might be in these tiny little sports and you think, of course, they're not making money. There are athletes in some of these big name sports that are barely making anything. 36% are earning between $5,000 and $20,000 annually. So most of them are in that bracket of nothing to $20,000, a very, very small amount earning over $90,000 and even fewer over the $200,000 mark. Some of the comments we heard were that in the Olympic and Paralympic space, it is very hard to make money unless you are the greatest of all time or you have an incredible, inspirational or tragic story to tell. There's others that we spoke to. Melanie Kawa was one, a professional rugby union player who said the expectations and the demands were that of a professional athlete.
I'm literally spending my every spare moment of the day toward this sport, asking to be professional and still being told, well, we just don't see it or we don't have the resources or we're not going to invest in it.
And so that is very challenging for athletes. They have very high expectations of what the staff want them to do, what their coaches want them to do, but they're having to juggle a million other things and it really affects them, their physical health and their mental health as well.
Sport globally is underpinned by broadcasting deals and that also generally drives sponsorship dollars. And the common wisdom is that when the sports get more eyeballs and get more popular, the broadcast dollars will flow, as will the sponsorship dollars. What's the kind of indication from athletes that you spoke to that that was the reality of how things were playing out?
It's very much this self-fulfilling prophecy of, okay, the money will come once the people are watching, but how do you get people watching until you invest in it? So that was a very common frustration from most of the athletes that responded to this survey. This was one of the most one-sided stats we had. 89% said there's not enough coverage of women's sport, and 61% told us the quality of that coverage was average, with quite a few more also saying it was poor. So they were not very complimentary of the media, and that's one area that really needs to step up.
It's important to have a diverse range of people represented in the media so that there's a diverse range of people within society that we can relate to and help create change in those conversations and education and awareness.
They said we need the coverage to then get more people putting money into this. You can't just expect us to grow out of nothing, to grow out of nowhere.
And the sports industry, I think we're seeing athletes get really smart about how they can leverage their profile to generate an income. So while there might not be those big checks coming that we're talking about, they use their social media profile to leverage opportunities, which is smart. But it was really interesting to me to see in this survey that there's challenges on that, in that approach for women in particular.
This won't surprise anyone, but a lot told us, 32%, that they have been trolled online and 87% have witnessed it. We know this is a problem across the board for many people, male and female athletes, but I think it is a little bit more prevalent in the women's sports space from other studies that have been done separate to this as well, which we cross-referenced. Akech Makuchot is a former AFLW player. She was the first African-born woman to play in the league. She spoke to us and said that a lot of female athletes are just choosing not to be on social media because of the vilification that they've received. She personally has received a lot of racial vilification online, but she said that's how they do make a lot of money. They get endorsements. They are able to get income that they can't get from their leagues or purely from playing their sport. So it's really actively harming them if they don't feel safe to be online.
And that example kind of speaks to the racism in sport piece of this. As per your report, 67% of athletes have witnessed racism in sport. 30% had experiences of sexual harassment or violence in sport. Why do you get the sense from what you're hearing from these particular respondents that they seem to be living and operating in such unsafe spaces?
I think it's really important to ground this survey in the society that we live in. So yes, we are highlighting sport and we want to talk about these issues through the lens of sport because that is a way to reach a lot of Australians and to start these conversations. But these are issues which are really prevalent in society broadly. Racism is a huge issue. Sexism, the gender pay gap, gendered violence, all of these things that we are showing through our survey are also happening in the real world outside of sport. And so I think it is important to keep that context around it. Sport is not in its own bubble, but sport can be a really powerful driver for change. So if some advances can be made in these areas and tackling these issues through sport, then hopefully that has a flow-on effect. So in terms of some of the athletes we spoke to and their experiences, Nikki Ayres was one we spoke to who is a Paralympic rowing gold medalist. She's currently taking a bit of a step away from sport. She's taking a break. And she said she has faced all kinds of discrimination throughout her career.
Made me feel like I had less value, made me feel like I wasn't good enough. And at times I felt objectified that I wasn't worthy of being anything more than someone who could win a gold medal.
And that's actually fueling her to now be a role model and create positive change for others. So I think that's important. A lot of them are taking that responsibility and saying that I want to set the example of where we should be going and make this a safe space. There were some anonymous respondents who told us that it's a cultural problem within their sport, so that's going to be a much deeper issue to try and fix. And others spoke about things which maybe we see as not as serious, but are big issues, subtle sexual harassment like jokes or men putting women down or hogging training resources. Those kinds of things are kind of the more insidious and more common instances as well that can affect athletes just as much as those bigger issues.
You mentioned Olympics and Paralympics. We're closing in on the Winter Games and a big conversation at the Paris Olympics was trans athletes and their involvement. What are female athletes saying about the inclusion of transgender and non-binary people in sport?
I found this one really interesting because it's not cut and dry. It's not a black and white answer. So we asked, do you think non-binary people should be allowed to participate in women's sport? And then we asked the same question around transgender women. With non-binary people, 52% said yes, they should be allowed. 30% were unsure and only 16% said no. So that suggests there needs to be more education around that topic. When it comes to transgender women, whether or not they should be allowed to participate in women's sport, 41% said no. 32% said yes, and 23% were unsure. So if you put the yes and unsure together, that is actually the majority. So it suggests a lot of people are either supportive or, again, they just don't know enough about it. The comments we got around this, a lot of them were that I'm not sure about what biological advantages there may be. I need more information around this. Could there be more hormonal testing? They're supportive of that. There were a lot of suggestions of perhaps there could be a separate category. But overwhelmingly from the comments, I would say, apart from the raw stats, the comments we got on this one were that we just need to explore more avenues around it. It wasn't just a blanket, no, they shouldn't be allowed. And Annalie Maley is a high-profile supporter of trans women's participation in sport. She's gone to the Olympics for Australian 3x3 basketball. And she said, like, the underinvestment in women's sport is more of an issue that should be talked about rather than whether or not a very small number of trans women should be allowed to participate.
The biggest threat to women's sport is not trans women. It's actually men thinking that it's trans women. Because can you name five WNBL players? Have you been to a WNBL game? Have you bought a WNBL membership? Do you go watch local women's sporting clubs? Like, that is the biggest area that we need to grow. Like, trans women have a space in women's sports, 100%.
This survey, this report, you've covered such a huge body of work and so much ground and uncovered a lot of challenges for female athletes. From the women you've spoken to, the results you've seen, where do you see is the likely solutions that may be coming?
This is why we've decided to partner with Deakin University for this, because they have a lot of expertise in this area. So we wanted to do the study and bring the results out and say, here's a big broad picture of the state of play. Now we're going to work with them to talk to the sporting clubs and organisations, bring them even more detailed info than what we've been able to put into print and start to work through some solutions. Say, hey, this is the message coming from your athletes. What can you do? I think that is the key thing, is to listen. The athletes want to be listened to and what they've said, and then be part of the solution. So that's where we hope to take it. We're going to have more stories coming out on some of these individual topic areas. Body image, disordered eating was a huge area we went into. We'll have a separate story on that.
Sort of ebbed and flow through seasons, because sometimes when you stop the season and you're still eating like you're in season, you feel guilty about it. That was definitely taking away from my performance. I know that now.
We will look at the discrimination faced, the unique discrimination faced by para athletes. We'll do something separate on that. The lack of female coaches is another area that is impacting a lot of athletes. It goes to that leadership space. So we want to keep talking about all of these things, but we know talking can only do so much. We need action. So we hope that through Deakin, we can go to that next level and get action through the organisations.
You can read Amanda's full reporting on abc.net.au/sport. It's a great read. Amanda, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Jackie.
Headlines. The NFL playoffs are underway. Australian Jordan Mailata and his Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning Super Bowl champs, are out after being edged 23-19 by San Francisco. Elsewhere, the LA Rams beat the Carolina Panthers, Buffalo eliminated Jacksonville, and New England beat the LA Chargers. Maybe the result was the Chicago Bears' crazy comeback win over Green Bay. They trailed 27-16 with 4:21 left on the clock, and quarterback Caleb Williams drove the Bears to victory. He was emotional afterwards.
We understand that it's 60 minutes of football. We understand and know who we are. We understand what this means to the city. We understand what this means to the organization. We also understand what this means to us. And so you keep going, you keep going, you keep fighting. And when the clock hits zero, you'll look up and see who wins.
In tennis, Poland won the United Cup, beating Switzerland to claim the title. But most tennis fans would have noted Iga Swiatek's 3-set loss to Belinda Bencic in the women's singles. She had not beaten the world number 2 since 2021 and won 3-6, 6-love, 6-3. In a result that left Swiatek fuming. Elsewhere, Belarusian Irina Sabalenka won the Brisbane International, overcoming Ukrainian Marta Kostyuk in straight sets. In the men's, Daniil Medvedev did it with relative ease against American Brandon Nakashima, taking the men's title in straight sets. In the BBL, the Test stars are back in the mix. Alex Carey took his Red Bull form into the domestic comp, smashing 71 from 39 balls for Adelaide in a 32-run loss to Perth. What about the pregame, where they'd mic'd him up for the TV broadcast? His son and daughter were there to cheer him on. The fireworks proved a little too much for young Clementine.
How good's this?
I miss my mum.
Oh, you miss your mum? You miss
Too cute. Dad might be a national hero. Everyone wants mum in a crisis. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to Channel 7 and Prime Video for the extra audio used in this episode.
Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.